I'm Sean Broderick from Mississippi State University. Today I'd like to talk about a trialing website that I've developed to help disseminate our trialing data that we collect down at the Truck Crops Experiment Station. So we all know that there are hundreds of new cultivars that are released every year by some very ambitious plant breeders throughout the world, and some of them are fantastic and some of them are not, and a lot of that depends on the environment that you put them in. And really we want to be able to provide plant material that will meet the consumer demands. And we want to know really ultimately what plants will work in our particular landscapes in our the different regions around the world. There was a study that was conducted to try and figure out what do people actually want in their landscape. So ASLA reported some of those things. So besides grills, the top hit was low maintenance landscape. We talk about this as it's a common thing in the horticulture industry that people no longer want to garden, they would like to decorate. They want to be done with it. And so I wanted to show some examples of some low maintenance landscapes. So we have the minimalist approach, we have the use of nice hardscaping, and finally the more naturalistic methods. But really the point is that low maintenance does not have to equal unattractive, right? It's about choosing the right plant material and planting it in the place that it will grow and thrive. So that's why we have trial gardens. These are a little bit different from breeding trials. So breeding trials occur when a plant breeder develops a new plant. These trials are generally not public. They're very secretive. You have to sign typically material or plant material transfer letters or paperwork. And they're often planted in very statistically sound, randomized complete blocks, replicated. And often the plants are maybe in the process of being patented, but they're not fully secure. On the other hand, you have trial gardens, and these have a very different goal in mind. These are public. Often the patents have been filled. They're usually secured or pending. And then a lot of this is about demonstrating. We want to demonstrate to the end user how these plants can be utilized in the landscape. And it's used basically for promotional purposes. We have so many plant materials. What really should we be promoting to the end user to grow in our regions? What we'd like to do is really match the demands of production with the demands of the consumer. And that's really what ultimately will drive the most profits for the whole horticultural industry. I was in a big box store last weekend, and there were racks and racks and racks of plants that were all for sale for a dollar. And they look terrible. And so that's a lot of waste that occurs because the growers, the demand wasn't matched there. The Mississippi Nursery and Landscape Association, they understand this need to match the demand and the production. And so they developed a program to help to do this. And it's called the Mississippi Medallion Plants. So basically in Mississippi, the plants are trialed at different locations throughout the state, and those that are the top performing are awarded the Mississippi Medallion Award. And those plants that have received these awards are promoted both to the growers and to home gardeners, master gardeners, extension agents, etc. And this allows those the production and the demand to meet up better. To match up better. So just as a case study that's been well reported is that in 1999 there was a plant called the Panola. It's a cross between a pansy and a viola. These do very well in Mississippi at the right time of year. In 1999 no Panolas were sold at all, but it was awarded this Mississippi Medallion Plants. It was promoted both to growers and to producers, and in 2000 they sold over $250,000 of Panolas. And the growers ran out, which is the perfect scenario. So people were searching around everywhere and couldn't find these panolas that were these miracle plants for them. So this is a great problem to be faced with. Down at the Truck Crops Experiment Station, this was the first station in Mississippi trials occurred. It started in 2001 under Dr. Glenn Fain in collaboration with Mr. Norman Winters. And what they did is they went around to companies and they said, "Will you send us your plant material, and we'd like to trial it here and see how it grows in Crystal Springs, Mississippi." And the companies participated. They were very excited about this. And the program was so successful that it's continued for the last 15 years. In 2014, I was hired on as a new faculty at Mississippi State. I came in October, so the trial gardens were, you know, pretty much wrapped up. But I completed the end of year trialing report from the data that I was given by my research tech. And this was essentially the report. We had a cultivar name, we had an average score. I had an every week score, but the average for this Cuvier Vermillionaire was 4.85 out of a scale of 1 to 5. And I also had some height data. And that was it. And I basically sent the data back to the companies that participated in the trial gardens. So the data didn't really reach out to who it needed to reach. I mean, the companies got some minimal data back. But I wondered, you know, what could we do to improve this? Well, Cuvier, this particular variety, is supposed to be cold hardy to zone 7, and we're zone 8. So I told my research tech to keep it in the ground. We're going to see how it fares through the winter. And so this season, we started watching it, and all 8 came back. So it's winter hardy in our location, at least from last winter, which is pretty cold. And then 2 weeks later, we took another photograph of the plants, and we see that the Cuvier is starting to bloom by mid-May. And then finally, by the end of May, these plants are looking very, very nice and would look great in a landscape. We didn't see any disease issues. The plants are very uniform. So this is some great data that could be very, very useful to a lot of people, to growers, to producers, to companies, to homeowners, to master gardeners. And so I wondered, how can I make this data available to more people? And I think the answer is pretty clear that, you know, a lot of this can be accessed now through the internet, that creating a database of this information is probably a great way to be able to present these. So for this year, we had 127 entries, and we expanded the garden, the research trials a bit to include hanging baskets and containers, because that's where a lot of market emphasis is shifting in the horticulture industry. And also, as a new faculty, I went to the Extension annual conference, and they said that they did a stakeholder survey, and they found that the number one way people want to access information is through the internet. That was by far and above the biggest, the most desired way to access information. So I generated this this website, and I'd like to take you there. You can write down this URL if you'd like to go check it out. But we created this website, and we have, of course, our homepage, which describes about the gardens. Excuse me. And then we have our upcoming events, which every fall at Truck Crops, we have a Fall Flower and Garden Fest where we have about 5,000 people that will come through the gardens, and that's our big event. And in a town of 5,000 people, that's a pretty good turnout. We have here our sponsors page. These are the companies that have participated in our trials, and those that have basically put in more entries received, I guess, higher sponsorship levels for their participation. But what I'd like to do is take you to the plant database where the trial information is stored. Excuse me. So here are entries here. And the website's pretty easy to navigate. It's pretty clean. You can access it pretty easily from a mobile device as well. And it has the trialing year, the company that the information is available from, and then the average rating that it has. But if you click on a plant name, you can pull up their actual individual plant page. And so this is, for example, this is Angelonia Archangelite Pink. I have cultural notes here for producers if they'd like to see how I grew these plants and prepared them for planting out in the fields, in the trial gardens. And then I have here the performance ratings. And these performance ratings are based on four criteria. They're based on uniformity, flowering, leaf health, and finally landscape impact. So if you plant this in your yard, how likely will it be that people actually see it planted in your yard? Right, you can see here, this is a common thing among all of our trials, is that a couple weeks after we planted it, the ratings dropped. Well, about a day after we planted all of them, we received over 4 inches of rain, and the plants were not very happy. So it was a bit of a shock to the system. So we have on here the climate data. So you can see that as our temperatures have gotten hotter here, the Angelonia have not been performing as well. These are the day and nighttime temperatures here. And you can hover over it and see the date and the actual temperature. Also, we have the cumulative rainfall. You can see that we got a lot of rain right after this initial one. And the rain has been pretty crazy this year. We have here the average ratings. And here I put some other winning combinations where you can actually click on this plant and it's linked so you can see another plant in the trial. So these are things that you could plant with the Angelonia here that would look potentially good in your landscape. And then finally here, we have our plant development photos. So here we have our first planting right after they came out of the greenhouse. A couple weeks later, we start seeing some flowers. We get some more flowers and we put bark down between that time. So, and the plants get a little bit larger here. They're looking pretty good. They're looking even better here by mid-June. And by the end of June, they're looking pretty good. But then by July, you can see they really start to decline as we start heating up in July. And here they still haven't recovered in flowering. So this is a nice visualization of the plants and how they're actually growing throughout the season. And really something that I wanted to convey to our to people that come and visit this site. And they can see, you know, for how long is this plant going to look good in my landscape? Let me take you to one other one here. We have this dahlia from Proof and Winners here, and it did okay until about the end of May, and then it has really been struggling. But what I wanted to point out is that in the greenhouse we had some spider mite infestation, and so what we also like to do is educate the producers and also homeowners to look out for common pests and diseases for some of these plants. So we created a video from some of the leaves that were infected with spider mite here, and also provided a link on the website where people can actually click to find out more information of how to control these plants within the landscape. So it's I think going to be a great resource for a wide range of horticulturalists and homeowners and master gardeners. Let's see here. Just wanted to my slide, here. I'd like to thank all the sponsors that have participated this year in our trial gardens, and would like to open it up for some short questions. A couple minutes for questions.
The first question I was going to have was, you should have a score for how well they get along with others, and they didn't have that. The other question I have is, what did your sponsors think of bad scores?
What do they think about bad scores? Well, I think it's useful information because they understand not everything's going to do fantastic in southern Mississippi. But they're okay with that because they have their, a lot of these companies that participate are they sell worldwide. And so it's about picking the right plants for them to purchase. And so getting bad data back is actually not a bad thing for these companies. I think it's very useful in helping their plant sellers. Yeah, so the pictures, they take about 15 minutes. That's pretty quick. They're all in a row, so we just go write down. And then as far as the ratings, we have to go through and rate them. That takes a little bit longer. It takes about an hour to rate them in total for this many entries. And then finally, the website, you enter that data into an Excel spreadsheet and you upload it. I'm going to be working with our website designer to get the pictures automated. So that's the most time consuming, and that takes about 3 or 4 hours to upload all the photos. So.